Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we try to explore different aspects of the world of music. And included in this is one of our things that we love to do, album reviews, which, of course, is pretty standard. We usually do a music history. We also do an album review most of the time. So this is our album review. But before we get into this, I am your host, Brian Kroc. And, of course, along with me is Jacob Crum.
The mob rules, Brian.
Does it?
It does.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that.
So write it down.
I will. I'm going to mark that down, write it, get a poster, maybe get a tattoo, put that down right there.
Mob rules.
So if you want to help out our little podcast, you can do so by going to our website, followthesoundpodcast.com. Click on that Amazon banner. It'll take you to Amazon, and you can do all of your normal shopping because you won't be on our page anymore, and you can't buy anything on our page. You can buy stuff on Amazon, though. Tons of things. In fact, the headphones that I am currently using are the Amazon Basics earbuds, and I've bought like four pairs of these things, not because they break, but because they last a good long while, and they sound really, really good, and they're like $5 a pop. Top quality stuff. And so there you go. You can do something like that. You can go and buy just simple things like headphones, earbuds, you know, that you can use on your phone or laptop or whatever. But if you're going to do it, please go through our website. It'll really, really help us out, and it'll give us a little bit of money, and it won't cost you anything extra. So go to the website, click on the banner, or you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Boom. Jake.
Yes.
You picked out the album this week.
I did.
And it's something that I definitely wouldn't have picked. Not because I'm not a fan, but because I've never been like a super fan,
mm-hmm.
and I the music that I listen to, and it takes me a while sometimes to like get around to some of the classics.
Yes. In fact, Brian, I remember the very first time you heard Black Sabbath Sabotage.
Really?
Yes.
Because I don't remember this at all.
Well, we did a Walmart run at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Of course we did, because that's what we used to do.
And I purchased it, and then I put down the top of my 91 Chrysler LeBaron.
Yeah, you did.
And blasted the hell out of Hole in the Sky for you.
Oh, you and the Chrysler LeBaron. That white car. Convertible.
Yes.
Oh, man.
With the holes in the rag top.
Do you want to know something funny, though? Actually, yeah. the total sidetrack for us. Yes, we'll get to the album review in a bit. But the car that I remember the most of us just like rocking out to music in was actually your red truck you had.
My dad's red truck, yeah.
Yeah, and so we used to drive that thing around all over the place and just listen to different... it was the first time I ever really listened to a Janis Joplin album.
Mm-hmm.
First time I ever listened to the Darkness album.
Oh, yeah, okay.
First time I ever listened to any Tom Waits was what you played for me.
Okay. Probably like, Dio as well.
Yes, and Dio. So driving around in your car, it was an introduction to several different artists.
And that 95 Dodge Ram had a great stereo in it.
That it did.
Really
that it did.
Rockford Punch.
And you'd like being up high and everything. Yeah. It was always a blast driving around the back streets of Southern Illinois. But Jake, what do you got for us today?
I have today. I've been wanting to do a metal album, other than Tool Lateralis.
Right. Yeah, I haven't done haven't done one yet either, because I've been waiting to do one of my favorite metal groups, which is Carnivool.
Okay.
And we'll have to get to them in a bit, but they're on my list of albums that we need to review. But yes, we haven't really done a metal album yet. And so what do you got?
Well, when I thought if we're going to do a metal album, we have to do the band who invented the genre.
Yes.
Right. They took a name from someone else.
Uh-huh.
They took a name that someone used to describe Jimi Hendrix's music, and then tried to push on Led Zeppelin, and they rejected it.
Yes.
And they...
Even to this day, they reject that belief that they started heavy metal.
However, four young boys from Birmingham, England...
Birmingham!
...who got together in 1968, released two albums in 1970 under the name Black Sabbath.
Yes.
And I will put to you right now that every year that they've released an album... they've been the best metal band of that decade.
Mm.
Every decade they've put out an album, they've been the best metal band of that decade. So when I was looking what album I was going to review, I decided I wanted to review an album that does not get its due credit.
Okay. So not like one of the big ones.
Yeah. So, Brian, let me ask you this. Who's the lead singer of Black Sabbath?
Well, if I remember correctly,
yes,
the original lead singer was Ozzy Osbourne.
That is correct.
And then he quit.
Yes.
And then for a bit there, it was Dio.
Yes.
Those are the only two I know.
Okay. Well, that is correct. So the band released 8 albums with Ozzy.
Yes.
And its original lineup, right?
Yeah.
From 1970 up to 1978. And then they kicked out Bill Ward and Ozzy Osbourne because they were just debaucherous lechers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of, people were tired of them. And they picked up Ronnie James Dio, who was suggested to them by Ozzy Osbourne's now wife, who's the daughter of their manager.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Right. So they did their Dio albums.
Which are crazy awesome.
Which are really good, right? So Ozzy's done the first 8 and this is the last one with him. So that's 9 albums.
Yes.
Dio's done 3.
Mm-hmm.
He did Heaven and Hell, Mob Rules, and then came back and did Dehumanizer in 92. So there was like a decade where he wasn't doing music.
Yeah.
And the band went through like this whole huge tumultuous kind of changing all kinds of guys. They had 2 guys from Deep Purple as lead singers.
Okay.
Ian Gillan.
Yeah. Right,
the first Deep Purple singer. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that replaced him in Deep Purple, Glenn Hughes, replaced him in Black Sabbath. Okay. And then Glenn Hughes got into a fist fight with their new manager in a bar and broke his orbital bone.
Okay.
Glenn Hughes got his ass kicked by his manager.
Yes.
Right? And couldn't tour.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought in a young guy whose name we're going to get to in a second, but he's done 5 albums with Black Sabbath, and you've never heard his name.
That's true, because you always associate
the
Black Sabbath with either Ozzy Osbourne or then Dio.
Right. I'm going to tell you right now that, God damn it, Tony Martin.
Okay.
Is the best vocalist that's ever been in Black Sabbath.
Really?
Yes.
Even throwing Dio in that.
Dio might sing, I'm putting air quotes around this, sing a song better. He might have a better feel for where the music's going to go and be able to change his dynamics to hit stuff. But Tony Martin has a range and a tone that no one else that's sung with him has. And they've had everyone. They even had a guy who was the original Jesus in the Broadway production of Jesus Christ Superstar for 6 months.
Really?
Yes.
That dude was amazing.
Jeff Fenholt.
Yeah.
Was part of... Okay, here's the thing. After they got rid of Glenn Hughes, Tony Iommi wanted to do a solo project.
Mm-hmm.
And his idea was that he's going to record a bunch of music and then send the music to Dio, Ian Gillan, Glenn Hughes, and a couple of other singers.
Yeah.
And have them write their own lyrics for the song. And he was going to put it together as an album and not tour.
Okay.
And call it the Tony Iommi Project.
Got it.
The label came back at him and said, look, you owe us 2 more albums as Black Sabbath. So he was kind of forced to release them as Black Sabbath. One of that was the Glenn Hughes album. And then Glenn Hughes started working on an album, recorded music, got his face broken. And then Tony Martin was brought in to replace him for Eternal Idol. Now we're looking at this like weird point where is Black Sabbath still going to be a band or not because they fulfilled a contract? Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler left, who he had been the chief lyricist for Black Sabbath all the way up until this point. So they brought in a guy from the Wrecking Crew to be a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote some lyrics, recorded some stuff, and then left. And they brought another. So they were left with Tony Iommi not wanting to do Black Sabbath anymore. This young guy, Tony Martin, who really, this was his first released band under a label in contract. So Headless Cross is the album that Tony Martin made. And the first track we're going to play for you is the magnum opus of Headless Cross.
All right.
I've heard Headless Cross described as the best Sabbath album that doesn't have Dio or Ozzy on it, and it's better than that.
All right.
So let's just give him Headless Cross.
Here we go. We'll be right back. All right. So, okay. So here's the first thing I noticed. One.
Yes.
They found somebody who can totally like belt like Dio.
Yes.
All right. Some of the high notes that he hit though there, that was phenomenal. And like I loved like exactly the music underneath it too was super cool because you got those drums that are heavily reverbed and stuff. You got that bass that's I love that. Just all around a solid rock song. I've never heard it before. Oh, so yeah. that was actually kind of amazing.
I heard this from a live album with Dio singing it.
Yeah.
And he can't hit that note without going falsetto. It's not in his range.
Oh, okay.
So on the live album, he had a lot of help from their keyboardist also doing falsetto. So it was two guys doing falsetto in unison to do that note. Tony Martin needs no help. He can still hit this note today.
Oh, yeah.
He's 60 years old.
Wow.
Or 59, excuse me. So another reason I wanted to grab this album is because this was released in 1989, right?
Yeah.
Next year is going to be 2018. Year after that will be the 30th anniversary of this album, and Tony Martin has never gotten his due from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, they've done the Ozzy reunion tours. They came back. They did another album with Dio in the 90s, and then they did a Dio tour. Even Ian Gillan, who did one album with them and then wrote some lyrics for another album and then left the band, has gotten to come back and do reunion shows.
Yeah.
They've never come back and played with Tony Martin. He's never gotten his due. They haven't put together a compilation of his. They've got five albums with this guy.
Mm.
Five albums with that voice.
Yeah.
And he's never been given his due. And on the 30th anniversary, I really want to see at least a 30th anniversary re-release of that with some other tracks. Because I know there's stuff that hasn't been put on albums yet.
Hmm.
But anyhow, so that song, Headless Cross, had Tony Martin on it. Doing his thing, which is amazing. I also had Cozy Powell as a drummer, right? Also, he's credited as a songwriter. Cozy Powell, if you want to know, is kind of like the super fix-it drummer guy.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with Jeff Beck and Rainbow, and he left Whitesnake to come to Black Sabbath for this album.
Oh, nice.
So he's an awesome talent, singing drummer, and... Man, the rest of this album, it's not like it's downhill from here. It's all really good stuff. Let's hit him with number two. Let's hit him with this is actually the third track on the album. The first track was an intro that's 1 minute long, so we skipped that.
Yeah.
So track number three coming at you. This is Devil and Daughter.
We'll be right back.
There's some hard-hitting drums there. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been a fan of the double bass stuff. So yeah.
A little bit drier drums.
Yeah.
Less reverb on this one.
Yes.
That's the biggest criticism I've ever read or heard about this album is that, oh, it's just drenched in reverb. It's so 80s. Well, it came
out. It's an 80s album.
It came out in 1989. Cozy Powell left Whitesnake to come to Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
The other act, like Cliff Burton has just died.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's not like And Justice for All hasn't come out yet. Metal is still stuck in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a better metal album from the 80s than this.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. Kill 'Em All is a terrible album. It's a shit album, man. It sounds like garbage. Right. It sounds like somebody just like stretched out the tape with a bottle of Jack Daniels that they set on it when it was recording. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Right. This, however, is structured, and it's a gorgeous, stinking album. Any other thoughts on this song?
Oh, man, I don't know. I just, once again, those high notes that dude hits, just crazy good. I love it. You know me. I'm a big fan of rock tenors. So,
yeah.
And he squarely falls into that category. The thing I'm kind of figuring out, so the album before this, though.
Yes.
He wasn't on it, right?
He was. He sang it. But it was stuff that he was overdubbing tracks that Glenn Hughes had done.
Okay.
Because he had gotten in a fight with their manager and got his face broken.
Okay.
And couldn't sing. So he was replaced on tour by a guy named Ray Gillan, no relation to Ian Gillan.
Yeah.
And they finished out that tour. Then when they came in to do what was going to be Glenn Hughes 2,
mm-hmm.
they brought Tony Martin in.
Okay.
Well, actually, they brought in the Jesus Christ Superstar guy first.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm not going to sing the old Black Sabbath songs because I have moral qualms about singing about darkness. So he didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Anyhow, then they brought in Tony Martin.
All right.
And Tony Martin, after the Eternal Idol album, wanted to bring new life into Sabbath because Tony Iommi was kind of done with Sabbath, mm-hmm. but was locked into it.
Yeah.
Because it was the only thing he could make money at.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next song.
Let's move on to the next song. The next song is called When Death Calls, and it is dark and heavy, and it might be my favorite track on the album.
Here we go.
Closer.
That's an intense song.
Yes, it is.
I was just looking up some of the lyrics, actually, for that.
Yeah, so the lyrics for this is a little bit less like a Black Sabbath song and more like a Manowar song. In this, it sort of posits that it describes the second coming of Satan.
Yeah. So,
right? As opposed to like the second coming of Jesus, where everything, like, it's really weird and then everything's great at the end. And in this, it starts out kind of okay and then everything's terrible at the end. But man, it's a slow burner, but when it kicks in, that riff is outstanding. And I think that the riff there in the chorus, the third chorus, when you finally get to it, is actually the best just guitar, sheer guitar riff on the album.
Nice. I like it. I mean, obviously, lyrically speaking, I can't get in line with it, but rock-wise,
hey.
I mean, it's still a pretty solid slow song. So, that's all I got to say for that one.
Yeah,
let's go ahead and move on to the next one.
Let's hit the next one. This is the oddly titled "Kill in the Spirit World."
All right, goes a little something like this. In the spirit world.
Yes. Again, another really kind of weird out there song. Lyrics courtesy of Tony Martin.
Yeah. Actually, what I liked about it is it was kind of a bit more of a straightforward rock song.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know. I like that one a lot, actually.
This gets a lot of flack from people, but because...
I can see that. I can see how the hardcore Sabbath fans are, this song sounds a bit too happy.
Well, it doesn't really sound like a Sabbath song, although I would argue that the next album after this, Tyre, is the most Black Sabbath-sounding album of the 90s.
Yeah.
Because after that, it came out like Dehumanizer, which had a song on the Wayne's World track. Anyway, if you can get past the gated reverb on the snare drum, it's a really damn good song. It's a good song. When this came out, Van Halen was doing that stupid Pepsi commercial.
Yeah.
Like, another hard rock band was doing a Pepsi commercial. Like, Black Sabbath was still doing metal when everyone else was doing something was called metal.
It wasn't until much later on when Ozzy started doing soda commercials.
Well, that's neither. But he was still Ozzy.
Yeah.
He wasn't right here.
That's true.
Oh, no, that's the wrong right now. Right now.
It's your tomorrow. I'd like to point out that was for Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, excuse me. Got me on a technicality with your clear see-through
Crystal Pepsi. I was actually quite happy when they re-released that.
I drank a couple. I've got to be honest with you. Were they all it was cracked up to be? No.
No, they weren't.
But I was glad it was there.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. What do we got next?
This is Call of the Wild. And I'll let you be the judge whether or not this is a good song.
All right, here we go. Okay, so.
Yes.
You want to know what my first impression of that is?
Let's hear it.
Sounds like an Iron Maiden song.
Okay.
That, I mean, I'm just being honest.
Okay.
It honestly sounds like something, I mean, because I've seen Iron Maiden in concert, and so, I mean, it sounds like it was like written for Iron Maiden, and then like they didn't want to do it, and then mm-hmm. Black Sabbath did.
Well, this could be something left over from Glenn Hughes, you know? I mean, I don't know when this song, like, I actually don't know who wrote this song. Now I think about it. I can look that up, though. Oh, I still don't know because it's not listed here. Interesting. weird.
I was like, yeah, it's, yeah, let's see. Call of the Wild is not listed for who actually wrote it. So,
yeah, interesting. Or at least not on this.
Dude. Yes. All right. So. You were talking about this when death calls.
Yes.
And you're talking about the guitar solo.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Let me guess. Session artist? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who?
No.
Brian May.
Really?
Yes. Just saw it. I was like, Brian May, guitar solo, when death calls.
Okay, then. That explains it. Good on you, though. Used to good effect, man. That's a great song.
So I'm gonna have to go back and actually listen to that guitar solo then.
Yeah. Okay. So Call of the Wild. It's got some interesting semitones right there at the hook. You know, it kind of reminds me of sort of like some Persian folk music, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. I do like it, even though it sounds like a Iron Maiden song. Apparently.
It. Well, I'm just saying, like, it sounded to me like it was a song that Iron Maiden would have done.
I could see that, yeah.
Like, just with the way that it was, the way that he sings it, and some of the notes that he hits, like, it just flashed in my head that it sounded like Iron Maiden.
Well, being confused with Iron Maiden is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. Jessica really liked Iron Maiden, which cracked me up, so there you go. But... yeah, this is just one of those songs that it wasn't a bad song. Don't get me wrong. It's like you know, saying it sounds like somebody else, you know, yeah, people could see that or could assume that I'm like insulting it. I am most certainly not.
I wasn't accusing you.
It was a good song. It's just that to me it sounded, if you'd played this one and asked me who it was, I would have said, is this Iron Maiden? Because that's who it sounds like.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
You know, it's how like sometimes I sometimes get like Boston and Foreigner confused.
Oh, terrible. Look, if the greatest sin that Black Sabbath has ever committed
was
is
that they sounded like Iron Maiden,
that's not so bad.
No,
unfortunately,
it's not.
Their biggest sin was the album Never Say Die, which is atrocious. But anyhow, let's move on.
What do we got next?
This is Black Moon.
All right, let me go ahead and get this sucker queued up. Here, play. Actually really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that your jam off of this album so far?
So far, yes. Although I was trying to figure out the devil rising to the moon, and I was like, is Satan like taking a trip or something?
You know what? All right. So you're going to get me on just a micro rant right now, right?
Okay.
So I love Dio.
Yes.
You know I love Dio.
Yes.
Right? You know that the only reason I can sing rock and roll was because I sang to the very Beast of Dio album.
Yes.
Right? I played that nonstop for like 3 months and taught myself how to sing rock off of that album.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dio writes some ridiculous as shit lyrics.
Yes.
He wraps himself up in this like duality stuff so often.
Rainbow in the Dark?
Yes. Rainbow in the Dark. He's like, you know, I'm a this, but then I'm also something that's not that. And he gets so trapped into that, like, listing things that he just ends up being an indescribable enigma in a song.
Yes.
And the song's not about anything.
The Bob Dylan method of songwriting.
Exactly, right? But Dylan has more nuance and some tact and doesn't lock himself into rhyming life's a never-ending wheel with truth is hard as steel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying Holy Diver got really garbage lyrics in it. It's still a kick-ass song.
Holy Diver!
Yes. So, Black Moon, I think it's a really good tune.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and I'll have something more to say about this when we actually conclude this after the next song. And but then I'll give you like my real breakdown of the album, okay?
Fair enough.
So, but let's get to the next song, which I believe is the last song, right?
Yes, this is the last song. There's a on the CD.
There's a version, bonus
there's
track.
There's a
bonus
track that wasn't on the LP. We're not going to play Cloak and Dagger.
Yes.
Perfectly serviceable song. It sounds like a Black Sabbath song, kind of unlike Cold Wild and Black Moon, which don't really sound all that you know, Sabbathy. You can even say that much for Headless Cross. Nightwing is really, it sounds a little bit more like an Ozzy solo song, and the lyrics are garbage.
Was it written for the comic book character?
No. Okay. It's about like this murderous beast called Nightwing. It's a Manowar song.
Okay.
Let's just be honest about it. It is a Manowar song. But man, Tony Martin can still sing. If nothing else, if everything else on this was garbage. Oh, by the way, Black Moon, favorite bass line of the album. But if nothing else, if that was the only thing about this song that's good was Tony Martin's voice, it would be worth listening to at least once. So here you go. Let's give him Nightwing a little taste. So you didn't seem like you were feeling that one as much as I was.
Well, okay. So, a couple of things. One, yes. I did enjoy the tritone hits that they were doing there, like right before he does the Nightwing flies again. But is it bad that in my nerd little brain, all I could imagine is Nightwing from DC, like
Dick Grayson,
like up on a rooftop, like kneeling there. Listening to this song, like thinking, like, yeah, I'm gonna go out and kill some people. Like, I just had this image in my head the entire time. You know, it's like how Batman stands up there on the edge of a city, like, or the edge of a building. It's like, you know, you see the bat signal behind him, and it's just like, I'm Batman. I was like, with Nightwing, it'd be him listening to this song.
So, what did you think?
I know it's bad.
What did you think of the intro?
Oh, the intro.
Let's start out with the intro.
No, okay. So the fretless bass was actually super cool because it was an unexpected thing in a song. And it's the only time that I've heard that it's utilized on this album. So I thought that was actually really cool. I've always been a fan of like that sort of fretless bass sound it's utilized very heavily in Paul Simon's Graceland album. And so that's why I always recognize it from that. So drums kicking in, really good, guitar, awesome, vocalist. I mean, obviously, he's hitting those high notes that are amazing. Yeah. So, I mean, all in all, good song, good album.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so weird little studio
yes.
trick at the beginning where they're looping the riff backwards.
They had the guitar riff playing. They played it backwards and then crossfaded it mm-hmm. in time to go back into regular way. I thought that was fascinating.
Did you also notice that they panned the stereo?
Yes, I did hear that.
Yes, where it got louder in the right ear before the left ear, and then, whoops.
Just hitting the mic.
And then when it crossed over, it got louder in the left ear first and then louder in the right ear. I don't know if that's cheesy or not. I haven't decided.
Yes, so here's where I'm going to get into my actual review of this.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so. Vocalist, friggin' amazing, like just top notch singer. Bass player and guitar, very solid together, obviously doing their thing. And the drummer, of course, is top notch as well. All in all, really great musicians, really great singing. So the only qualm that I have with this entire thing is sort of the production level,
mm-hmm.
and that's because it's an 80s album.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with the music or any of that kind of stuff. It's just the way that it was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And had it been recorded like maybe 5 years even in the future, it would have sounded completely different.
Can I also throw this out?
Yes.
Right. So after the Eternal Idol album, the previous album to this, which was supposed to be the last Sabbath album,
mm-hmm.
right, the studio told Tony Martin basically they were going to sue him if he didn't do another Black Sabbath album.
Yeah. Not Martin, right? You huh? said not.
Excuse me.
Iommi.
Tony Iommi.
Yeah.
My bad. Two Tonys.
Yes, two Tonys.
Right.
Not anyhow, Tony. Right. But.
So he signed up to do another one, and this time he talked the studio into it.
Mm-hmm.
So the studio, according to Tony Iommi, rented them, quote, the cheapest studio in England. So they were. This album was an uphill battle from the beginning.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm not saying that's an excuse.
It's not like a slight against the album.
Okay,
necessarily.
Fair enough.
So what it is that I just think that had it been recorded a little bit later, there would have been some different techniques. Like mm-hmm. I would have had it to where the guitar wasn't as much in the background as it was. The bass to me seemed a little muddled throughout it because he's mirroring exactly what the guitar is doing a lot of the time. The drums, it's got that gated reverb, which of course went away like the year after this album was recorded.
Right.
Except in hip hop albums where it's still used. And then I mean, vocal wise, I mean, you're going to get with a singer like that, you stick reverb on them and you make them sound like they're singing in the Grand Canyon, you know, to like make their power go even farther. And that's just what you're going to get. So yeah, my only like slight hang up on the album is just the production value. And that's not to say that the producers weren't at the top, you know, or weren't good producers or that any of that kind of stuff. It's just that for my taste in production, I would have wanted it done differently. Because if you hear metal albums now,
mm-hmm.
like it's really crisp, and this kind of lacks a crispness to the music that I like. But that all being said, still top notch musicians, still top notch singing, and it's like you said. I mean, I haven't listened to a lot of other Black Sabbath albums, but I have heard songs from Ozzy and Dio. And so I can do a direct comparison to them, and he's definitely a better singer than Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
But Ozzy Osbourne's biggest selling point was never his actual vocal ability. It was the way he sang it. It was the uniqueness of the way that he sang. Dio's selling ability or sellability was based on his power. And this Tony, obviously, he's got the power, and he sings a lot like Dio in the way that he enunciates certain things. But he can go higher.
Yes.
And he can really hit those like good high notes and then hold them out for long periods of time. So I don't think I ever heard Dio actually do that. Dio just, he'll hit a note, but it's just like raw power that he tries to throw out there. So, yeah. Now, if I'm going to give this like a numbers rating, okay?
Yes. Okay, let's hear it.
I'm probably going to give it like, I'll give it a 6.
Okay, I thought that's where you're going to go.
Okay, I would go higher, but that's it. It would purely be based on the production like value of that. So I know a lot of people would be like 6. Well, that's like so low. Well, not really. Not in my opinion. Like because it's to me an album that I would probably listen to at least once or twice more. But I'm not going to listen to it like on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. But what it has made me want to do is go back and listen to more Sabbath albums so I can get like a broader perspective of their discography. Got it?
I got it.
That's my vote. I'm giving it a 6, but it is not a slight. It is not a slight against the album or the artist or any of that kind of stuff. It's just that in my grand ranking system of all of the albums that I have ever heard in my life, I'm placing it in the middle. Give it a solid like B minus. You know?
All right. I'll take that.
Okay.
All right.
Good. As long as I know I'm if somebody's going to hear this and they're going to be like, "How dare you give it a B minus?" Blah,
no,
blah.
No.
But
if they're going to say, "How dare you give a B minus?" Most people's consensus is that this album is a D plus.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
People hate this album, and I think it's thoroughly undeserved.
I think one of the reasons why, and why I can probably give it a higher rating, is because I'm not attached to the previous stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not attached to just Ozzy Osbourne's version of Black Sabbath or just Dio's version of Sabbath. Like, I can listen to this because this is really the first full Sabbath album that I've ever listened to. And then I can be like, you know, I can see from their perspective what they were trying to achieve, as opposed to me being like, well, I grew up listening to Ozzy, and this isn't Ozzy. This isn't the way that it should be done. This isn't what Black Sabbath is supposed to sound like, blah, 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 blah. This isn't Crazy Train. So, but as far as for what they were trying to do, I think they pulled it off.
Yeah.
Could it have been better? Yes, it could have been. But I'm not going to hold that against them.
All right. So first off, right. So yes. This album was an absolute uphill battle to get made to begin with.
Yes.
Their bass player, Lawrence Cottle, he's played with Alan Parsons before.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very serviceable jazz bassist. I don't think he had enough time to write music for this. And anytime this is played live, Headless Cross is a Black Sabbath staple that gets played.
Mm-hmm.
At least I've never heard Ozzy sing it. He might not try and sing it. They might not do it with him. But I have heard Dio sing it. And when Tony Martin, he's got his own band called Headless Cross that he does his music with. The bass lines are different in most of these songs.
Yes.
They're not played the same. Again, I just don't think Cottle had the time to actually to pull off anything else.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, even though there's some really interesting stuff in here, like with the intro on Nightwing with the fretless, When Death Calls, there's some interesting little bass nuances there. There's a couple harmonics.
Yes.
But again, the only Sabbath album that gets more hate than this is another Tony Martin album where he had Ice-T come in and do a rap. And people hate that. By extension, they hate the entire album. And it's not bad. It's not the best album of the 90s from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
But you know, Forbiddenness, it's okay. It doesn't deserve the derision it gets. What I love about this album is that Tony Martin as a singer is not diametrically different from Dio and Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
All the lyrics or all the vocals that Ozzy does for every song, he sings with the rift.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you think about Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Dun, 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 right? How does he sing that song? Right? He sings with the riff.
Mm-hmm.
Dio, everything he does, he sings across a riff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He'll stretch out a line. He'll change a word here or there. Even in the old Ozzy songs, when he does them, he sings across a riff. His Iron Man is a lot different. Tony Martin on this album does both. Right? In Devil and Daughter, he sings very much with the riff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? However, in Headless Cross, he's all over the damn place.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a singer that can do everything. Like, there's nothing. If I was a conductor and I was trying to conduct Tony Martin's voice, I don't think I would have any better instincts than he does with his own voice, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a great conductor, but there's nothing I don't think I would change anything he's doing. I would leave him alone.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. I get it.
All right. So if I had to put a number on this, and I guess I will, I'll give it a solid 7.
All right.
This is a really good album. It's the best metal album of the 80s. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say it.
All right.
I said it.
There you go.
You can send your hate mail straight to Follow the Sound. And I do want to put out...
That's Jake... At Follow the Sound. No.
I do want to put out a little bit of a thank you to a YouTuber by the name of Mountaintop 9.
Okay.
Who did his own review and talked about the 30th anniversary coming up of this album. So I'm kind of piggybacking off of his idea, but it's a great idea. And I want more people to pay attention to it because Tony Martin is part of Black Sabbath. He's part of Sabbath.
Yeah.
And he's young enough that he can still keep doing Sabbath.
Yeah.
For a few more years.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw pictures of him, so he could definitely continue to do it. Well, folks, that is it for our show. This has been a fun little travel journey into the world of heavy metal. And, of course, if you want to help out our show, you can go to our website and click on that Amazon banner. Do your shopping. We get a little bit of money. Bing, bang, boom. Done. Or you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon and do the exact same thing. But please help us out if you get a chance. I know Christmas is coming up soon, so people will be doing a lot of shopping online. And so it's very, very simple. It'll take you 5 extra seconds out of your time shopping on Amazon to go through our website, and it won't cost you anything else. So that's all I got. Of course... We reviewed Headless Cross by Black Sabbath tonight. Jacob's pick for this week. I believe next week I will be coming back with an album review for the group. I haven't quite figured out what I want to do because I got about like 4 different albums that I possibly want to do. And I got to figure out which one I actually really want to like bring for the group. But we'll announce that later on and have some fun either way. Because we always have fun here because we love music. And we respect the musicians that are creating it because, let's face it, we can't do that. I'm a drummer. I can sing. Jake, I know you play some stuff and you've been around music your whole life, just like me. And Greg is the exact same way. Like, but we can't create something like this album that we reviewed. And so that's why we respect the artists. Even if it's an album that we may come across where we don't actually like it that much. I don't know. Maybe one of these days we'll do something really off the wall and like review Justin Bieber's latest album just because we can. We may not like it, but at the same time, we can still respect the art for what it actually is. And that is something that is created for the entertainment of others. And it is created to evoke an emotion of some kind. And so if it did that, that's what it's supposed to do. Whether it be happiness, sadness, anger, or whatever, it's supposed to do something along those lines. So that's why we exist here on this podcast to do this show, because we want to follow the sound. We want to follow it to where It's something that beckons us and calls us to continue forth and listen to more and find more and analyze it and study it. So I have been your host, Brian Kroc. This has been Follow the Sound. And along with me has been Jacob Crum.
Thank you for having me.
Remember, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.